And God's people said,
amen.
Amen, which means you agree with that. All right, turn in your Bibles tonight. Let's start in the book of Proverbs tonight, chapter number 20. I need you to keep your Bibles open tonight. We'll be looking at several passages of Scripture, and maybe the Lord will bless you and encourage you as we look at some good things in the good Word of God. Proverbs chapter number 20. It has been said, and I believe it to be true, that you become like the God that you truly worship. If Baal is your God, then you're expecting others to sacrifice to make you happy, and you're selfish, and you are full of fulfilling your own desires, a lover of self. But when you worship the true and the living God, He sacrifices Himself for you. What a difference. A God full of grace. I would like to be like my Heavenly Father. I would like to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. As we saw this morning in the book of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, I would love for those things to manifest themselves in my life on a regular and continual basis. And when we talk about the faithfulness of God, that's what I want to talk about again tonight. Last Sunday morning, I spoke about the faithful God. And I want you to look in Proverbs chapter number 20. Let me put it like this. There is what I would say, let's call Him the faithful sovereign. He is great in His faithfulness, the Bible says. Do you agree with that? Ready to forgive, slow to anger. I like to be like Him. He is conforming me to His image. And one day I will be like Him in those areas of my life. But you know, the Bible also talks about the faithful God. We looked at several passages where it says God is faithful. God is faithful in your times of trial and temptations. He won't allow you to be tempted above all that you are able to bear. He'll always provide a way for you to escape. God is faithful. And when you confess your sins to God, when you have fallen and you come to Him, He has provided you a propitiation for your sins, an advocate, a lawyer in your behalf, the Lord Jesus. And if you confess your sins, He will be faithful to forgive you and cleanse you. What a blessing that is. But there's also some faithful sayings in the Bible. There are several of them in the New Testament. One in particular, it says, you know, this is a faithful saying and of worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners. So if you want to be saved, you're going to have to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner. Amen. So there are several places in the New Testament where it says this is a faithful saying. So we look at a faithful sovereign. God is faithful. He'll keep His word. He is trustworthy. Now listen, if you agree with that, would you say amen right there? He is trustworthy. He is reliable. He is dependable. He is constant. And He is steadfast. I don't have to worry about whether the sun is coming up in the morning or not. I may not get up in the morning, but the sun's coming up in the morning. I know not what a day may bring forth, but I know that the sun will rise and will set because He's faithful. And there's faithful sayings in the Bible. But tonight I want to preach on faithful servants and how do you look for them? How do you identify a faithful servant? Because the more that you are becoming like the God that you serve, we're going to be able to recognize the fact that you're becoming more faithful. In other words, you're becoming more trustworthy. He can take a crook and save him and make him trustworthy. Amen. God can change a person's life. He can take somebody that's been lazy and make them a reliable servant and steward. God's like that. He can take somebody that has been inconsistent their whole life and change them through the power of the gospel and the working of the Spirit and the preaching of the Word and make them consistent and dependable and steadfast. We're always, matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Did you know that the New Testament church is absolutely the perpetualness of the New Testament church is dependent upon the faithfulness of God, but also upon faithful men and women. God has deposited the truth, not into angels, not into cherubims, not into seraphims, but into men and women. And the perpetuity of the church is dependent upon faithful men and faithful women. But would you be able to recognize them? How would you measure a man if we were to, let's just say that we all just met for the first time here, and then we were going to decide we're going to start a New Testament church and call it East River Baptist Church, and we need some leadership, some that you will follow, some that you will trust. I'm not talking about me as a pastor. I'm talking about leadership under him. What we call our leadership team, men and women who serve the Lord. And after, wouldn't you need a little bit of time? I mean, if you met somebody for the first time, would you be able to tell they were faithful? I think not. I think you would need a little bit of time. And a little bit of time around them. Because things are not always as they appear. Sometimes people can come to church and have one side of them, but when they get home, there is a totally different side to that individual. But there are still some things you can watch for that help you, give you some marks in those particular areas. When I say the perpetuity of the church is dependent upon the faithfulness of God, I'm not worried about his part. I'm concerned about our part in this. But you know, the New Testament church is still here, which means God did find some faithful men and women. Praise the Lord. And there's some in this congregation. And let me just say that when you begin to look for that, when I say, you know, the perpetuity of it, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, you are to commit these things to faithful men. You're to commit these truths to faithful men. Would you know what to look for? Well, look with me in Proverbs. In chapter 20, the reason I say that is because according to the Bible, they are not plenteous. There's not an abundance of faithful men and faithful women. Look in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6. The Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Doesn't the Bible say something about you not bragging on yourself? I'm already worried about you if you're out proclaiming how faithful and good you are. In other words, you're promoting yourself. You're looking for a position. You've got ambition, and you want to be in a certain place in the church. And so you're going about making sure everybody knows how good you are, how faithful you are, how dependable you are. Listen, if you are those things, you don't have to tell us. We will already know that. We'll be able to recognize some of that in you. You're bothering me by coming up and telling me how good that you are. I was taught as a young man that my grandfather had a couple of mules, and he had one of those old wagons that we put corn in, and I always enjoyed riding with him for a little while anyway on that rough wagon. And he said, son, you know, an empty wagon rattles the loudest. And so it is with men who boast about their abilities. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own lips. In other words, don't be a politician. Amen. And don't hire people to say good things about you. That's what these singers do. That's what some of these evangelists do. They got them a team to promote themselves to the world. You know, I every once in a while I pick at my wife, and you know, I said, you know, the Bible says, let a little man praise thee. I'm waiting on you, dear. I'm just kidding. I like to mess with her. She knows that. She counts on it. She knows I'm faithful to do it. Chapter 20, verse 6 says, but what it says, what does it say about a faithful man? It says, but a faithful man, who can find? Which means that they are not just falling off trees. Now, watch this. Look over in, let's look in Proverbs chapter 31. Now, in the work of God, you do have to have men and you have to have women. You remember that woman over in Romans, I think it's Romans chapter number 16, isn't it? About Phoebe? Is that her name? Somebody help me here, you Bible scholars. Romans 16, chapter 16, verse number 1. He recommends to the church a woman by the name of Phoebe. Do you think that he would have recommended her had she not been faithful to God? Look in chapter number 31. Look in verse number 10. Familiar passage of Scripture says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. How about that? So he said that who can find a faithful man? And he said, really, he said, who can find a virtuous woman? What is he saying here? He's saying they are rare. And because they are rare, they are valuable. They're valuable. A faithful man and a faithful woman are very, very valuable. And you know, faithfulness can be described only by the faithfulness of God. They are trustworthy. They are reliable. They are dependable. They're constant. They are steadfast. When I think about somebody trusting in someone because of their faithfulness, I think about Abraham, who loved his son, Isaac, and he pulled his servant up to him and he said, I want you to swear to me that you will go where I tell you to go and you will look for my son out of a particular area, a wife, and bring her back. He said, don't get one of these women over here, this particular area, this particular whatever you want to say, race or whatever, or creed or their belief or their culture. He said, but you go over here. And man, that servant swore that he would do it. That Abraham's servant, he was faithful. Faithful to Abraham. He feared God and he loved Abraham and he did what he was asked to do. Let me give you a few names in the Bible where the word faithful, or it either says faithful or it is implied about these men or women. For example, Abraham. Abraham is called faithful. Not only that, he's called the friend of God a couple of times. You think God's going to call you his friend if you're not faithful? You know, that ought to tell you about the kind of friends you've got. What kind of friends do you choose? Do you choose friends that are faithful? I don't have to have a lot of friends, but I'd like to have the ones I've got. I'd like to be able to depend on them and believe they're reliable and believe they're trustworthy and believe they're consistent and steadfast. I don't have to have a lot of them, but I'd like to have a few that are faithful. Abraham is called the friend of God. You know what the Bible says about him? He said, you know, they were fixing to go judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And right before he leaves, Abraham's place said, you know what? He's talking to these other two angels, whoever they are, these three. And he says, why don't we just tell Abraham what we're going to do? He said, because I know. He said, I'm going to tell him a secret because I know he'll command his household after me. How about that? You know, God may let you in on some things if he can trust you. How about that? He said, well, I read my Bible and I just can't get anything out of it. Maybe God can't trust you. Maybe if he could trust you, he might show you a few things. What are you doing with what you already know? Why would he show you more if you haven't been faithful with what you already have been shown? You just want to walk around like an encyclopedia? Or do you want to be a faithful servant? You understand? Now think about Moses. The Bible calls him faithful in all his house. Other people heard about David being sought after by Saul, and their comment was, David is faithful. That's what they saw in David. He is faithful. They knew that they saw some things about Saul, but they saw some things about David and his own servants, his own household, his own people were saying, that man is faithful. Hanani, Nehemiah was rebuilding, looking for some men to put in charge. He said, there's a man right there that's faithful. Hanani. Daniel. The Bible says that heaven liked Daniel. They loved Daniel. They probably talked about Daniel up in heaven. Daniel was even sent a visitor from heaven. Don't let all this stuff about the UFOs and all these things they're seeing in the sky, don't let that trouble you. Don't let that bother you. Man, just read the book of Daniel. It's been going on for a long time. Read Ezekiel chapter number 1. It's been going on for a while. And by the way, don't trust what politicians and government releases and shows you. They have been known to lie a time or two and deceive the multitudes. And by the way, they always release something at the right time that will distract you from something else that they're up to. They are great at manipulation. The CIA is great at disinformation. You say, certainly not. Certainly so. The simple believe every word. Amen? But a being came from another dimension to talk to Daniel. Whatever you want to call him, an angel. He talked about knowing Michael. He talked about the prince of Persia wanting to fight him so that he could not. He was delayed 3 weeks. A war was going on. Brother, there's another dimension around us, always has been. God just doesn't let us see into it. But I'm getting off the subject here because I can get off into that, and I don't want to do that tonight. I want to be faithful to the message tonight. But I want you to understand that sometimes, Daniel shows me this, Brother Byer, that being faithful can make me liked in heaven and disliked on earth. So I have to make a choice, don't I? Who do I want to like me? Do I want heaven to like me, or do I want earth to like me? Heaven liked him, but those around him, because of his faithfulness, because of Daniel's trustworthiness and his dependability, they couldn't find fault against him, so they connived against him to have him cast into the lion's den for violating the prayer ban. But you know what? God knew he'd be faithful. And God was faithful to him. Am I right? But I'm just saying that sometimes we all have to make a decision, young folks. That sometimes being liked by God doesn't always mean you're going to be liked by the world and your friends. As a matter of fact, it guarantees you won't be. You can't be friends with the world and friends with God. It's easier to be friends with the world than it is to be friends with God, because we can see them. I'm trusting an invisible God that I cannot see to please him. You know, understand here. The Bible also says that Paul said this, that God counted him faithful. Timothy is called faithful. Epaphras is called faithful. Tychicus is called faithful. Silvanus. Faithfulness sometimes can get you promoted, or sometimes it can get you killed. Ask Antipas, a faithful martyr in the book of Revelation. Ask John the Baptist. Ask James in the early church, had a sword ran through him. Sometimes being faithful can get you promoted, like it did Nehemiah, like it did Daniel. But sometimes it can also get you killed. It can. And then there's the ladies, Lydia, Dorcas, Phoebe, Priscilla. When I think about people who are faithful that might get you promoted or killed, I've also thought about Ahab and how that he wanted that vineyard. and how the man who stood tall and who would not bow the knee to the pressure of selling his property, which would have violated the word of God, he was killed. Sometimes your faithfulness will bring some persecution and some hard places in life by you being faithful. I hope that you'll be faithful to God. But I want to remind you tonight that God is looking for a few good men and women for the perpetuity of the church. If East River is to survive another generation, there has to be some men and women, some young people here in this congregation who make up their mind that they are going to follow hard after God. And they're going to be faithful to God no matter what comes down the road. Leadership that lasts forever. It always requires that there be other men and women who will take the mantle and will follow hard after God. In our faithful search for men and women, what traits would you look for? Look with me in Nehemiah. You're in Proverbs. If you look a few pages back to your left, let me give you just a few of them, and then we'll go to the house, all right? Look with me in the book of Nehemiah. I would like to be, at the end of my day, counted faithful in the eyes of the Lord. I don't trust my flesh for that. I trust Him. Look in Nehemiah chapter number 7. I'll say, first of all, one of the marks that I look for, often in some of the pastor schools that I've had a privilege of teaching in over the years in various states, met a lot of different good men. And in some of the question and answer sessions that we have had, some of the questions, and one of the questions that comes up pretty often and pretty consistent is, how do you select men or women? How do you select men specifically? Now, ladies, when I say men, I'm not going to keep saying and women. You understand that I believe that God uses women, but He promotes and wants and preaches that men should lead. Y'all say amen right there. And a good woman that's faithful to God believes that. Amen? If Paula White really feared God, she'd step down from what she's doing. Okay? So, be a Phoebe in an age of Jezebels. Be a Phoebe. Amen? But you'll notice in chapter number 7, verse number 1 and 2, but they ask me, well, how do you, when you look out among your men, and by the way, the early church was taught what to look for. When they were choosing some men to serve under the apostles, they were taught, this is what you look for. And so when you look for leadership, now when I'm saying all of this tonight, not for you to choose new leadership, I'm saying this for you to become a candidate for leadership. And so that you would be able to recognize people that ought to be your friends. And people that should be a part of your life that you can trust. Nehemiah chapter number 7. And somebody that you want to become. Notice a few things here. And so when they ask me, how do you determine? I'm just telling you, over the 30 years, when I first came here, I had to be very patient. You can't just change things when you go, a pastor takes over a new work. You just don't change things overnight. You got to patiently pray and watch and hope and pray that God will work to do what needs to be done. Sometimes God has to remove some people. Sometimes God has to promote some people. And you have to be very patient. Can't be who the pastor likes or doesn't like. Can't be like that. I can work with a man that I don't necessarily like his personality if he is faithful to God. I can support a missionary that I may not like to hang around, but he's faithful to God. I'm not sending a secret message to you, Brother Kevin. But notice this. This is what I'm saying is that you got to trust the Lord. And look in chapter 7, verse 1. It says, now it came to pass when the wall was built, I had set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. Now watch this. For he was a faithful man, now watch this, and feared God above many. So there's got to be something about that individual that stands out, and one of them is the fact that you will be above average in your fear of God. Above average. The common Christian in here, the average Christian, is going to have some fear of God. What you want is a man and a woman who will be above average of the fear of God. Because the fear of God, I'm not talking about being afraid of God, but it wouldn't hurt you to be afraid of Him once in a while. But we're talking about a great love and respect and awe, and that you do not want to ever violate Him because you love Him, but also you know that He is also a God of wrath and anger and can be just, and you know that He keeps His word. Fear the Lord above average. Nehemiah was searching, and he was looking for people to be able to elevate and delegate responsibility to. That's why it says on Proverbs 31, there in 29 and 30, about that virtuous woman, that she was a woman who feared the Lord. She was hard to find, but she was a woman who feared the Lord. Feared the Lord. Are you a God-fearing believer? Listen, this country, regardless of what the false news media says about our country, there is a core of people in America that are still God-fearing, America-loving patriots. That same God-fearing man, he may not even be saved, but he has a fear of God. He may not know God, but there may be a fear of God. We've got politicians in our nation's capital that have a fear of the Lord, but I am confident they don't know Him. And especially if they are devout Catholics and they're loyal to the Pope more so than they are to the Word of God. There is a fear of God in some of those men and women. I'm just saying, though, that as a believer in a New Testament church, you've got to find some people that are above average in their fear of the Lord. These some teenagers that have an above average fear of the Lord. Look over in Proverbs 11. Let's go quickly to Proverbs. I got a few verses I want to show you. Look with me in Proverbs 11. They ought to be able to say about you and your friends that you hang around that they are God-fearing, God-fearing. You know, if you're a God-fearing man, you're going to believe that book, aren't you? And you're going to do more than just bring it to church. You're actually going to read it and believe it. And you'll make decisions based upon the word of the Lord. The fear of God above average. If you fear the Lord, you're not easily manipulated. You got to have leadership. You got to have, when you commit yourself and God commits something to you, I can't imagine Abraham's servant being easily intimidated or easily manipulated by those as he traveled. He had his mind made up, and he feared the Lord, and he feared the God of Abraham. And he prayed to the God of Abraham. He said that. And I'm simply saying that there's got to be a fear of God above average. All right, look in chapter number 11, verse number 13. There's something else about a faithful man and woman. Is they can help you bear a burden that cannot be made public. They can help you bear a burden that everybody does not know about and should not know about. Look in verse 13. It says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. What are they doing? Somebody has trusted them with a secret. And now they're telling somebody else about that secret. And sometimes people do that to make themselves feel important in the eyes of the people that they're talking to. I want you to know that somebody confided in me, and I need to tell you this, but I don't want you to tell anybody else. So the Bible says in verse 13, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. The Bible also says in Proverbs, he that repeateth a matter separateth chief friends. Some of my brothers believe that he that repeateth a matter means that he's doing something sinful that he repeats in his life, and so his friends separate from him. I don't disagree with the possibility, that being the interpretation. But I know from experience that an individual who cannot keep a secret and who repeats it to everybody else is going to break down some barriers because they trusted you with something and you revealed some secrets, and as a result, it broke apart some families or some friendships or some churches. You need men and women. The pastor needs good men that he can talk to in private and say, hey, we got a problem here. I need to give you some facts, but these facts cannot be spread abroad. If those men cannot do that, and I may even say to them, you cannot even tell your wife. If that man cannot do that, he needs not be in leadership. If a couple comes to you and comes to your house and they're sitting at your table and they're saying, we have a great problem in our family and we have an issue with our son or with our daughter and we are greatly ashamed and we're burdened. We don't want the whole church to know about it or the whole world to know about it. We need counsel. We need to pour our hearts out to you. Can we trust you with this? Now listen, there's a limit there when you ask somebody that particular thing when they don't know what you're going to say, because if it's something illegal, then you've done entrapped them in something. You understand? Or if that person is in a danger to others, that's a different issue. That's where I've had to learn over the years that I have to look at them and say, I can't promise you until I hear what's going on. I've had to learn that the hard way. And maybe they may tell me something and say, I can't. That is illegal, or that is going to get some other people hurt. I can't. But I think you understand what I'm trying to tell you here, is that a faithful man is not a motor mouth. And a faithful woman is not a gossiper. And she is not revealing things that she knows or that he knows, and he knows there's more. Usually listen, the Lord Jesus said when he comes back that he will not judge by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. He said, and the reason why he says that is because a lot of the things that you observe and see, it's just surface, and you don't know all the facts of what's going on in that family. And the things that you hear, you don't have all the facts, only except what maybe one side has told you about an issue. So you need people whom you can confide in who will not reveal everything that you have spoken to them about. Do you have a faithful friend? Help carry the burden. Carrying secrets is a burden. Carrying things that others do not know is a heavy burden. Not all can bear that. All right, are y'all okay? You say, well, I want to know what's going on. Why do you want to know what's going on all the time? Is it because your nose is like Pinocchio's? Always growing? Do you understand? What does it say about studying? To be what? And to mind your own. We call that MYOB at our house. Mind your own business. The Bible calls people who don't do that busybodies. Amen? Busybodies. Look in Proverbs 27. Faithful men. Chapter 27. Look with me, please, in verse number 6. Chapter 27. Verse number 6, you will want people that you can give confidence to when your heart is broken and when you have issues in your life or your family's life that you cannot reveal to others, but you need prayer. Thank God for faithful men and women. Look in Proverbs chapter 27. Look in verse number 6. How about you being willing to be honest when it's not convenient and when it's not comfortable for you to be honest? How about that? Look in chapter 27, verse number 6. It says, "Faithful, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." A friend will be faithful to wound you for the purpose of helping you. I know that you all believe this until it comes to you. I've learned that Baptists say amen until it is them. And they say amen until it is about someone in their family. And if someone approaches you about your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife, you agree with this passage until it gets really close to home. And they have observed some things. The Bible says, listen, if they are your friend, they have no desire to fall out with you. If they are your friend, they have no desire to hurt you. But they know that if they don't talk to you about something, you are going to hurt more long term. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and it might be something about you personally. You know, you come to the altar talking to a faithful God, and you say, "Lord, I want you to use me. Please, God, whatever. I just want to be used by you." And the Lord says, "Okay, I'm going to take you at your word." So then he speaks to someone else who's faithful and says, "I need you to tell brother so-and-so such and such." God's answering your prayer by bringing a brother into your life, a sister into your life, and say, "Look, God put this on my heart to tell you this, and I don't want to tell you, but I need you to be aware that I think this is hindering your walk with the Lord. Have you considered this?" Don't go in there with you. You know, you're a faithful servant. Don't go in there like you're some kind of samurai with a sword. You know, when you're cutting everybody up and saying, "I'm just being faithful." That was a blessing. "I'm a faithful friend. There's blood everywhere. But by George, I told them the truth because I love them. I don't need you for a friend." I'll be calling the EMTs, my friends who are EMTs. You understand? But it is the fact that, listen to me, I'm telling you from experience, it is difficult. It's difficult to be completely, totally transparent and honest about certain things with people because they don't want to face the facts about the depravity of their own lives and the depravity of their own children and the depravity of their own mate. They just don't want to do that. Tell me smooth things. Tell me the good things. Tell me the potential that my family has and my children have. And by the way, you need to do that. You need to balance that. You do. Let's interview Micaiah tonight. If we could call Micaiah up to the pulpit tonight. Micaiah is found over in the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles. Ahab and Jehoshaphat are having a meeting. Two kings are sitting down together and they're considering whether or not they should go to war against an enemy. Ahab said, "Hey, Jehoshaphat." Now listen, Ahab's a wicked man, by the way. He's a wicked king. Jehoshaphat is a good king that fears the Lord. He's got no business being over there with Ahab to start with. Ahab says, "Hey, how about you joining me in the battle? Let's go over there and let's go take care of the Assyrians together." Jehoshaphat said, "Hey, my men are your men, my horses are your horses. But before we go, could we get a word from the Lord about this?" Ahab says, "Man, I got some preachers over here. Let's hear their prophecies." So they bring out 400. How'd you like to sit through a Bible conference of 400 prophets? One of them's even very good at illustrations. He gets him some bullhorns, puts them on his head, and he said, man, he is Mr. Osteen to the T. He is pushing this horn around and said, God's going to use you to push the Assyrians, and men, y'all going to have a great victory. It's going to be wonderful. Your best life now is coming. That's what was going on. And the rest of them were saying, amen. You could feel the electricity in the building because 400 men. Woo! And then Jehoshaphat, he's got some discernment. He said, I don't know about these guys. They're using a different translation of the Bible. He said, they seem to be a little contemporary to me. He said, do you have an old fundamentalist around here anywhere? Somebody that actually believes the Word of God? He said, Ahab says, yeah, but every time he preaches, it's negative and he's always speaking bad stuff about me. Why? Because he's faithful. And so they go get him. And by the way, the ones that go get him, they said, now look, we're having a good meeting. There's unity and harmony. Everybody's been saying amen. The song's been great. Good worship service. The king's excited. We got a visitor here. How about you going along once in a while? Micaiah says, I can only say what the Lord gives me to say. Now that's faithfulness. So he gets up there. Ahab says, all right, let's hear what you got to say. And Ahab's he's tensing up because he knows Micaiah's probably going to say, preach a negative message on thou shalt not. And Micaiah uses a little holy sarcasm. This is in there. I'm just telling you, you got to be able to see it in there, but it's in there because Ahab can detect the sarcasm. He gets up there and says, oh man, why don't you just go ahead and go? What difference does it make? Ahab says, what did I tell you? Tell me what the Lord told you to tell me. Micaiah looks at him and says, Israel is going to be without a shepherd. You basically saying you're going to die. If you go to battle, you're going to die. And did you know one of those false prophets, full of peace and joy and harmony, comes up to Micaiah and slaps him across the face? Jehoshaphat, though, had heard the word of God. Do you understand? I'm saying that it is not always easy to be honest. It's not always easy if you go by this book, if you seek counsel, you need friends that are totally and completely honest with you when it's inconvenient. And knowing that they might lose you as a friend. Now that's a real friend. You know what a lot of you young people do? Not just young people, middle-aged. You seek out your peers who are going to tell you what you've already determined you want to do. And you want them to agree with you so you can go ahead and say, well, I sought counsel. That's just like some of the young men that have made some decisions about their work or where they live or if they're going to move, things like that. And then they call me and say, would you pray with us about this? I said, you already made up your mind. Why are you asking me for counsel when you have already made up your mind of what you're going to do? You're not seeking counsel. You're seeking confirmation and peace from me of that this is the will of God. I can't do that. Ask me first before you do that. Don't wait till you move somewhere and say, Pastor, is there a good church around here? How about you asking me before you make the decision to move? Pastor, is there a church around here? Can I get an amen every once in a while? Maybe it's because you knew. If you ask me first, well, if I ask Brother Roger, I know what he's going to say. He's going to tell me something that the Bible says. And I'm not interested in that right now. Now we're getting right down to it. Amen. You need good men and women that are honest out here in the pews with each other about such things. Well, we're having a time, aren't we? Do you think God could trust Nathan to go in there and tell David what he needed to hear? He could, because he was faithful. Told him a story, looked right in his eyes, thou art the man. Could you do that? I'm going to tell you, say, yeah, man, just give me a chance. Really. You can't even look at your peers and disagree with them because you want to be liked. Amen. All right. Well, it's a good Mother's Day message, don't you think? Amen. All right. Let's move on here. Turn with me to Proverbs 25 and look in verse 13. A faithful man is somebody that's going to be reliable and dependable, in particular, in four major areas. What he does with his money, not how rich or poor he is, not how prosperous he is. Brother Craig, that's got nothing to do with it. It's not about how much money a man has. That should not be considered. There are people, do you know that a wealthy man cannot always trust who wants to be his friend because he knows that a lot of people only want to be friends because of what they have and what they can possibly get from them. How about, isn't it a blessing if somebody loves you and could care less of what you own or don't own? Isn't that a blessing? Now notice, his money, his morals, his mouth, and his motive. All right? Now watch this. Look in Proverbs 25, verse 13. Look at this. It says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. You're looking at someone who is reliable and dependable. Now watch. Look in Proverbs 28. I got to hurry. Look in verse number 20. Chapter 28, verse number 20. Look at this. I want to encourage you men. This is where the blessings are found. The blessings of God are found in being faithful to God. Be the steady Freddy. Look in verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. You realize that takes time. We're talking about years here, possibly decades. But the good, the bad, the ugly. The man who can be faithful to church when maybe others aren't. Of when the ebb and tide and flow of the church, maybe it's at its low point and people are distracted, but yet he's made up his mind that he is committed and he is going to be faithful and his heart is fixed. He's not just moving with the waves of emotion. Now watch what he says here. Look in chapter 28, verse number 20. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. That means he's going to stick with God, even in the hard places and the dry times. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Which means your motive, you're impulsive, and you're looking to get rich quick, and you're going to get in trouble. You're making your decisions on how things appear for the moment, not what God requires of you or what God wants you to do. Be faithful to the Lord. Every man has to make a decision. Every man has to make a decision. You cannot, East River cannot go forward if it doesn't have men who have made decisions. Yeah, I can make more money over there. I can make more money in another city. I can make more money over yonder. I can make money, but it would take me out of church. Yes, I need to take care of my family, but I want to make sure that I'm taking care of my family spiritually and trusting God then to take care of me financially. See, it's which one? Are you going to trust God? Are you going to look for the finances first and then consider the spiritual? You cannot promote the future of East River Baptist Church with that kind of mentality. You have to have men that are committed. Turn with me to Luke 16 and I'm done. Luke 16, what Jesus said here. Look in Luke 16. There are some faithful men in this congregation, and I thank God for you. And I'm not going to mention some names, because if I mention names and I overlook one, did you know that praise is a wonderful thing toward God? It's a dangerous thing when you go this direction with it. And the Bible says that when you are praised, it's also like when you are putting gold or silver in a pot for it to be purged of its impurities, because you're going to be tested. That praise that you receive is going to test you, but also it's going to make you the envy of others. So that's why you have to be very careful. But you do need to give honor to whom honor is due. You got to find a balance there somewhere in that particular area. All right, look in Luke 16. All right, we've got to close with this. Look in verse number 10. You want God to use you? I believe you do. Quit trying to be something you're not. Just be faithful. Be like that man that David had as one of his warriors that stood in his pea patch and defended it. Read it. He's over there standing in his pea patch, defending his spot. Find your place, get in it, defend it, serve the Lord, be faithful. Now watch what he says in verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? You cannot serve two masters. In my watch here at East River, I want good men and women. It won't be based on what kind of car you pull up in the parking lot in. It won't be what kind of house, depending on what kind of house you live in. It won't even depend upon what kind of educational degree you have or don't have. I am for all those things. I am not being negative about you having a nice car, a nice house, and a great education. What I'm looking for are the traits of somebody who can be faithful with things that matter to God. That matter to God. Those are the things that I'm looking for. Your money says a lot about you, what your priorities are, what you do with it. If you're not willing to invest, I don't know what anybody gives. But if there's a man on our leadership team who does not give anything, I want to know. Because I don't want him in leadership if he's not willing to invest financially in the work of God. Won't be able to trust him. He's a taker, not a giver. His morals. I don't want to have to worry about my wife or my daughter or my grandchildren in the same room with any man or woman. His morals matter. It doesn't seem to matter these days in churches, but it matters here. Your mouth. Your mouth is the quickest way to grieve the Holy Ghost. Sowing seeds of discord and discontentment and whining and murmuring and criticism of good people, being a despiser of those who are faithful and are good. We have no perfect men. We have no perfect women. We have faithful men. Amen. And we have faithful women. We do. Watch your mouth. Your motive. I'll show you one more verse. I promise you we're going to dismiss. I got this long message from Brother Beyer. He gave me a great example this morning. I'm just kidding. Look in 2 Timothy. Brother, you're here so I can blame everything on you today. Is that okay? You've got broad shoulders, don't you, brother? Amen. All right. Look in 2 Timothy. Look in chapter number 2. Look at this. You can commit precious things to those who are committed. Look what he says in chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There is the perpetuity of the church. You are committing to those who are committed. That's really the thought of the whole message. So I ask you, is your heart fixed? Have you made your mind up? Are you just a spectator or are you a participator? Are you all in? Are you ready to go? It's going to get crazy in the last days. You're going to see some wild stuff with AI, the news, the fascination. Jesus said, remember this. There will be signs in the skies. We're going to see some of those. And he says, if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect of some of the things that are going on. So don't get all bent out of shape if Fox News comes out with a 3-foot alien somewhere, show you something. Don't be afraid. Find great peace in the Word of God. Believe the Bible as much as you believe those doofuses. Amen? That's a good Texas word, right? Doofus. Let's pray before I get in trouble. Let's pray. Father, would you bless the Word of God to our hearts? Help us to strive in our hearts to be committed, faithful, loving servants like the God that we serve in worship. In Jesus' holy name, we ask it. Amen.